High school freshman Samantha looks a bit embarrassed as she tells how she became a mean girl.
Well, first, this started when I was like in fifth grade.
She admits to shoving other girls around.
I would never like hit somebody like seriously, like not fighting wise, but I was a very aggressive person.
And she says she got hyped up and became bolder as part of a crowd that egged her on.
You know, by laughing and stuff like that, like making extra comments, it just made it seem like you were like cool. And back then that was important to me, but it's not as important now.
Kathy McNamara saw that pattern repeat many times over the 15 years she spent as a psychologist in numerous schools across Northeast Ohio.
Most kids will tell you that they have been involved in some form of bullying at some point in their school careers. Doesn't make it okay, but not unusual for kids to try it.
Currently the chair of Cleveland State University's psychology department, McNamara has focused much of her professional research on adolescent behavior. She says for some, bullying is a hormonally driven urge to be cool. A former Clevelander who asked to be called Bill says his craving for social acceptance became an addiction. As a chubby, acne-scarred kid in elementary school, he suffered his share of bullying until he decided to make someone else the victim.
I found the kid who was sort of lowest on the food chain. What I mean by lowest on the food chain is the easiest person to pick on, the one that's not going to say anything back, the one that's not going to defend himself. It's empowering. It's like getting high.
A high that for Bill was balanced by bouts of severe depression and drinking. The 21-year-old has relocated to Texas, where he has been through rehab. Kathy McNamara worries that all the recent media focus on a generic thing called bullying muddies the waters when it comes to dealing with the more extreme forms of threatening behavior.
You know, you hear about a school shooting, for example, and the assumption is made right away that this person must have been victimized by bullies. You know, as if, again, the bully is just one thing, sort of a mean, evil presence in a school building who is, you know, preying on victims. And it's not... often, it's not always, and perhaps even not often like that.
The latest twist on bullying doesn't happen face-to-face. A local freshman named Matthew says he was livid when he heard another kid had been saying things about him behind his back, so he retaliated through the internet.
It wasn't so smart, but I took it in my own hands and went on, like, Twitter or Facebook and said mean things about him and spread rumors, but I found out that it just caused even more drama.
I think what cyberbullying does is it gives kids the opportunity to engage in bullying behavior to a much broader audience in a way that you are not easily caught. You don't see the pain, you don't see the upset, you don't see the tears. It becomes sort of a mob kind of mentality where, you know, since you're not there and you don't see the consequences, it makes it much easier to keep it up and in fact, you know, make it worse.
Kathy McNamara thinks broad-based punitive measures such as detentions and suspensions aren't an effective way to deal with bullying behavior in schools.
Zero tolerance policies, I don't believe, work for almost anything. They're very popular in schools, kind of the law and order approach. I don't think it's particularly effective. I think what works better for bullying is to create sort of an atmosphere in the school in which bullying is not something that we're okay with among the kids.
She says most students, like Samantha, tend to lose the urge to be a bully by the time they hit high school.
It's not cool anymore. Like, there's no reason to be mean to anybody, especially if they didn't do anything to you. There's just absolutely no reason.
I'm David C. Barnett in Cleveland.